理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 17 From Cape Horn to the Amazon. I could not remember how I reached the platform. Perhaps the Canadian had carried me there. But I breathed the sweet sea air and was energized.
Ah,
said Conseil.
How delightful this air is!
The first words I spoke were words of thankfulness to my two companions who had saved me. The Nautilus was then moving quite rapidly, and by March 31st, we passed the southern tip of South America, Cape Horn, a point greatly feared by sailors, with its icy cold temperatures and terrible storms. Captain Nemo did not appear after our accident at the South Pole. On April 1st, I was pleased to see that the Nautilus was remaining near the South American coast, rather than disappearing into the middle of the sea. By the 3rd of April, we had continued following the coast, and were just 56 miles off the coast of Uruguay. We had then sailed nearly 16,000 miles from our starting point in the seas of Japan. At 11 o'clock in the morning, we were near the coast of Brazil, but Ned Land was quite disappointed to see that we were moving at a terribly quick speed, much too fast to flee from the Nautilus. For several days, we continued at this high speed underwater. On the 11th of April, however, the Nautilus rose to the surface near the opening of the Amazon River, which has a width of several leagues when it reaches the ocean. Chapter 18 The Squids. For several days, the Nautilus stayed away from the American coast. The Canadian was quite upset. He had been hoping we could escape using the boat, but we were now too far away from the American coast to survive the long boat journey. For 6 months now, we had been prisoners on board the Nautilus. We had traveled 17,000 leagues, and all believed our journey should come to an end. We could not hope that the captain would free us, so we must escape. Besides, since our terrible situation at the South Pole, the captain had become more upset, much less cheerful than in the past. He seemed to avoid me. I rarely saw him. In the past, he was delighted to explain the wonders of the sea to me, but now he was never in the sitting room. Why had he changed? I now had the knowledge to rewrite my book, and wished to again be in my country, though the daily observations of the sea animals was quite fascinating. On April 20th, we were near the islands of the Bahamas, in the Caribbean Sea. That day, I was in the sitting room, observing the various sea animals when I felt a shock just before the Nautilus stopped. Just a few moments later, Captain Nemo came into the room, followed by one of his men. I had not seen him for quite some time. He seemed tired and dull. "Have a collection of squids stopped our movement?" I asked as he came into the room.
"Yes, and we are going to fight the giant squids,"
he answered boldly. "Man to beast?"
"Yes, the squids have stopped the motor of the submarine. That is the reason we have stopped."
"Our air guns do not work against these giant squids, so we must attack them with axes."
"And the spear, sir,"
said the Canadian.
"If you will accept my help." "I will accept it,"
answered the captain. We then followed the captain to the central staircase. There, about 10 men with axes met us, ready to attack. Conseil and I took 2 axes. Ned Land grabbed his spear. The Nautilus was now on the surface of the water. One of the men began to open the door to the platform, when a giant squid's arm reached into the door. Captain Nemo quickly rushed over with his axe to cut the arm. Another arm then came down and grabbed one of Captain Nemo's men, who was carried out. We hurried after him. The poor man then began screaming,
"Help! Help!"
I was shocked to hear these words spoken in French. This unhappy man was a fellow countryman, and was soon lost below the surface with the giant squid. The crew fought with their axes, as did Conseil, Ned, and I. I felt great emotion and terror for that poor countryman, who was carried into the depths of the ocean by a terrible sea monster. After the battle was over, Captain Nemo, covered with blood, looked out at the sea that had taken his friend, and tears began falling down his cheeks. Chapter 19. The Gulf Stream. None of us can ever forget that horrible battle on the 20th of April. I have written and rewritten that terrible event, so no one will ever forget that terrible incident. I have read the story to Conseil and Ned Land, who have said that the story is correct. I also said that Captain Nemo cried while watching the waves after the great battle with the giant squids. He felt a great deal of pain. It was the second companion he had lost since our arrival on board, and what a terrible death! That poor friend, crushed, thrown, drowned by the terrible arms of a giant squid. He will not rest peacefully with his comrades in the coral cemetery. In that man's last attempt at being rescued, he had returned to his mother language of French, desperate in his last moments alive. Captain Nemo entered his room, and I saw him no more for quite some time. He was the soul of his invention, and it floated with no direction for the next 10 days, as its captain was too upset to take control. Finally, on the 1st of May, the Nautilus continued its path north. We were then following the world's largest river to sea, the Gulf Stream. This underwater river flows in the middle of the Atlantic with its own speed, fish, and temperature. Other waters do not mix with this great sea river. The Nautilus was now flowing in this river. By the 8th of May, we were near the coast of North Carolina. The width of the Gulf Stream at coast is nearly 75 miles, and its depth is over 600 feet. The Nautilus still traveled randomly. Its captain seemed to have abandoned it. I thought that we could possibly escape now. Indeed, the coastal cities nearby would be easy to get to, perhaps New York or Boston. It was now a favorable opportunity, though we were still nearly 30 miles away from the American coast. In addition, the weather was very bad. We were near the coast, with the worst winds and storms.
"Professor,"
Ned Land said to me one day,
"this journey must end. I must leave this submarine. Captain Nemo will soon leave land, and I will not follow him to the North Pole. I would rather throw myself into the sea. I will not stay here."
"Well, Ned, do you wish me to speak with Captain Nemo about his plans for us?"
"Yes, sir."
That evening, I went to Captain Nemo's room. I knocked on the door twice, but I heard nothing. I then carefully opened the door. The captain was there. He quickly looked up at me, saying,
"What do you want?"
"To speak to you, Captain."
"But I am busy. Please leave me."
"Sir," I said coldly, "I have come to speak to you about an important matter." Before I could continue, the captain showed me a document written in several languages.
"It contains my findings during my studies of the sea. I have signed it with my name.
as well as explained the history of my life. The last survivor of the Nautilus will throw this into the sea.
But, Captain, you cannot be sure that anyone will reach this document, I explained.
What did you come to speak to me about?
He asked, disregarding my comment. I came to speak to you about our freedom, as my companions and I have lived on the Nautilus for over 7 months.
Professor Aranesh, I will explain to you one last time that whoever enters the Nautilus must never leave it. Now, please leave me, and never ask me such a question again.
I explained this conversation to my companions, and we decided that, though the weather was bad, we must leave as soon as possible.
We will escape near the coast of New York. We must escape,
exclaimed Ned Land. Soon after, however, the weather became quite frightening, and we realized a hurricane was coming soon.